I would like to give a warm welcome back from Radio Gorgeous to Charlotte Pena.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Exactly. It's another hot summer's day and another steamy thriller from you. It wouldn't be summer without you now. You're becoming an institution of thrillerdom. The first one was The Couple Next Door. This one is A Stranger in the House. It put me in mind of a quote my father used to say every time we got in trouble. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
Yes, yeah. I still say that on occasion. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites.
Exactly. So with that as an introduction to A Stranger in the House,
what I can tell, because I can't tell too much without giving things away. So I'll just give you the basic setup. It's about a married couple, Tom and Karen, and they've only been married a couple of years, and they're a pretty good couple, and they live in a nice suburb, and there's a nice, friendly neighbor across the street called Bridget. And what happens is Karen is in a car accident that no one can explain, and her husband Tom thinks he knows everything there is to know about her. But as it turns out, she has secrets that she hasn't revealed. And Detective Rosbach is on the scene because there's a murder that's discovered and there's a bit of evidence that links her to the murder. And so things unfold with the detective at the door, the couple falling apart because of secrets that are unfolding, and a neighbor watching from across the street. So it's twisty and turny and I think a page turner.
Yeah. Everyone that you mentioned has secrets.
Yes, that's my trademark.
Yes. Well, it also put me in mind of another quote that my husband, strangely, is fond of quoting, is we live as we dream alone.
Ah.
So that despite, being together in a marriage, ultimately...
You're always an individual.
You are always on your own. Mm-hmm. One of the things in the setup, just amazingly, Karen's in this car accident, but she actually has amnesia. She cannot remember what preceded the accident.
That's right. Not what immediately preceded the accident. Yeah.
Which is very frightening. We talk all the time about, dementia, mm-hmm. Alzheimer's. Losing our memory is losing ourselves, mm-hmm. losing control.
Yeah.
And it seems that's something that she's woken up to a completely out of control situation.
Yes, and it's not just out of control because of her own lack of control over the situation, but something really awful has happened and the police are watching and she's in a bit of a tight spot.
Yes. And she also feels like even before the accident she's being watched.
Yes.
And she's a woman who has lived in fear for a long time.
Yes, she's lived in fear. She's a bit paranoid. She thinks someone's coming into the house. She's actually taking photos on her phone of the house before she leaves in the morning to see if things are moved when she comes back. And, there's a whole mystery there that's quite frightening.
Yes, that struck me. Also,
I just want to say,
yes,
this one, A Stranger in the House, the title actually refers to the wife who's in the house because she's a stranger to the husband. And A Stranger in the House also refers to somebody is coming into the house. So it has a double meaning.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And her fears also have a double meaning. One of the things that occurred to me is that you really like to play with. Is, especially with the 24-hour news cycle and explosion of social media, there are tropes that we are familiar with. There are stereotypes that we are familiar with. Mm-hmm. There's the spurned lover, perhaps. There's the battered wife, perhaps. And we think we know that. Mm-hmm. We know that stereotype, and we know what that behavior looks like. And that. And so we don't necessarily examine it. Mm-hmm. As much as we could and we should. And I think you really like to play upon our assumptions and play upon, so using our own minds against us.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I like that.
Yes, exactly. It seems to me, as you develop as a thriller writer, you're playing with us even more. You're enjoying the cat and mouse game.
Oh, I love the cat and mouse game very much. Yeah.
Tell me about, like I said, we can't go too much into it, but there's aspects of Gone Girl, there's aspects of Fatal Attraction in here.
Both of those I loved, yes.
Yeah, they're really, and it really is a page-turner, and your heart is in your mouth all through the night as you don't sleep and turn pages, or sit on the beach and shiver when you should be boiling. Tell me about, you do have one recurring character from your first book, mm-hmm. and he is the detective. But he's the person in both books we know the least about.
Yes.
Are you saving him for later?
Do you know, I mean, I didn't want to do a series. I want to do standalone thrillers. So that's why he's sort of in the background. I don't want it to be, the minute you use a detector twice, it almost looks like a series. So I wanted to keep him not in the fore. And it's not really his story anyway. He's necessary, but it's not really his story. Mm. Someday, I don't know, I may do his story. And that would be really interesting because he would be I've thought about this, where I would develop his character a bit more. But I'm specifically not wanting to do a series, so I'm very careful not to make him a more important person in the book.
Mm. You first wrote two literary novels that, as you said, were well received and critically acclaimed, localized in Canada, and you wanted to write a thriller, mm-hmm. and you wanted it to sort of progress from there, wanting a wider audience. Well, you got what you wished for.
I certainly didn't expect this.
No. Okay. So tell me exactly. So what were you expecting, and how is it different, and has it changed you? Did it make the writing of the second book that much harder?
Yes. So I didn't expect any of it. When I wrote the first one, when I wrote The Couple Next Door, I think I told you this last time, I wrote it for myself to see if I could do it. It was really more of an experiment, and I didn't really tell anyone what I was doing until it was almost done. And then I sent it off to my agent, and she loved it, and it just went on from there. It's, 32 territories, big bestseller. And that certainly changed my life, and it changed how I approach the books, because now, of course, I'm on a contract, and I'm doing a book a year. So to be honest, I found that second book, I found Stranger in the House, very difficult to write. And I don't think I'm alone there. They talk about the difficult second book, and it's...
The second album syndrome.
They have it too. I'm not surprised. So... It's difficult for a number of reasons. One is, you write the first book in anonymity. You have as much time as you like.
No pressure.
No pressure, no expectations. You can play with it. I like to play in my writing, as you say. And there's no one looking over your shoulder. And really, it's easy. Everyone has fun with their first book, I think. And then it hits the jackpot, and then you have to do it all over again. So there's a couple things. There's a time lock. Thriller writers know about time locks, right? You put a deadline on something and the tension goes sky high. Well, it's the same when you put a...
Yeah, well, now it's on you.
Yeah, now it's on you. So there's a deadline that makes it harder. And also the amount of attention that you get when a book goes big like Couple did, it's very distracting. So you're doing an awful lot of traveling, a lot of promotion, a lot of interviews, a lot of, appearances, and they all take time, and they take you away from the writing, so you have less time to yourself, quiet to write, and a hard deadline. So in that, and then you have the high expectations, because if you've written an international bestseller, of course you want to write an even better international bestseller. So yeah, it's those three things: the expectations, the time, and the deadline that makes it a lot harder. So I did struggle with this one. I struggled getting started, and I had a few false starts, but then once I got going, I was under tremendous time pressure, and I wrote it in a really sort of fast, heated way, and it came out really well. I was very happy with it in the end, but yeah, it was not easy.
It struck me that you were well suited better suited than other people might be to that type of pressure. Because I remember you telling me that your first books were written, you know, when your kids were napping.
Yes.
And to me, that shows a discipline and an ability to turn it on when you can.
Yeah, I'm more of a journalist type that way. I'm very disciplined. I write when I can. If I have a two-hour slot, I'll write to the two-hour slot. If it's in the morning, perfect, because I'm better in the morning. But if I have to write at night, I'll do it at night. I can write on the road if I have to. I don't prefer it. And I used to think I would never be able to write in a coffee shop. But you know what? I can write in a coffee shop. Because if I have to, I have to. So I'm pretty disciplined about it, and it works for me. I don't wait for inspiration to hit.
And how has it changed your family? Because I imagine, you know, you traveling. I mean, it's a totally different dynamic from, oh, yeah, my mom's a stay-at-home mom, or my wife's at home, and whatever. And oh, I'm, you know, I'm an adjunct to the Sherry.
Yeah, you know, we've had some wobbles with the kids. They are not going to hear this interview. you know, I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, and it was a bit of a bit of an issue that I wasn't always available. At one point, I had to write verboten in a big sign and put it on my door. And you know, they would pretend they didn't know what that meant, but but they knew. So on the one hand, I think there's a bit of trouble because I wasn't as readily available. But I'm still home most of the time, and I still stop writing to do whatever they need to do. But they, you know, they benefit from it, too. Like, my daughter has a beautiful horse. I just took her to New York. We went shopping for 3 days. It's not a bad thing to be the daughter of a best-selling author, so she likes it. And
it has some perks. There's good news and the bad news.
Yeah, and I think the good outweighs the bad. And my husband's very happy with the whole situation because...
retirement's that much
closer. He's looking at early retirement, and we're going to Istanbul on a lovely festival trip in November, which he's coming along for, and it's great. It's great for all of us, you know, except I still feel like the drudge at home. You know, I had to fire the cleaning lady, and need to find another one. So, you know, I mean, it goes on. But
I would say life is still, you know, life is still life, you know. Even if you're like a rock star, you still go to the toilet.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? At home, I'm still mom who does the dishes, and
And who tells us what to do.
You know. It was so funny because I was just at Thriller Fest in New York and my daughter was with me. And I had so many people come up to us and they would say to my daughter, aren't you proud of your mother? And she'd just kind of roll her eyes.
For what? For why? She should be proud of me. You know, I exist.
I'm still just mom, right?
Yeah. And has traveling gotten easier for you? Because last time we spoke, actually, you had a crick in your neck. You'd been, you know,
I still have a crick in my neck. Because when I'm in too much air conditioning, it makes... Mm-hmm. And in New York, it was so cold in the hotel, and we just froze, and I have a crick in my neck. But traveling overall is easier. I've got sort of a bag packed all the time. I don't really have to think about it. And, I'm more accustomed to it now. I think the main thing is I don't worry as much about leaving the kids at home. My husband's in place, and they're another year older. And yeah, so the traveling's more easy for me now.
And... any downsides?
I can't think of a single downside.
No reading time?
To thriller success. I have no reading time. except that I'm overwhelmingly busy, which sometimes is, you know, sometimes it's just too much. And then I have to drop things. And, you know, I haven't seen my friends as much as I would like. I haven't got time to read as many books as I would like. My house is a bit of a shambles.
But life is pretty good.
Life is very good.
Life is pretty
good.
You know, you are working on book number 3.
Yes, I am.
Can I expect to meet you next summer?
I think so. Yeah, because I have a deadline. And this one, book number 3, is going much more easily so far than
excellent.
Book number 2 did. So hopefully it will stay that way.
Excellent.
And, you know, yeah, I'm due to have another one out July, same time next year.
Let the cat and mouse game continue.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.